Hi everyone, welcome back to another 21 and Sensory podcast episode with me, Emily. On today's show, I have the awesome Louis. He is a neurodiverse influencer and a super talented drummer who does duets on TikTok, where he has almost 50,000 followers, and he also uses popular sounds to share funny and very relatable videos about being autistic. Louis is most known for his spectacular invisible drum kit, which I will ask him more about in the episode. He is over on Instagram too, at Louis Roberts Music, and is part of a collective account called @autism_unmasked on Instagram too. So, Louis, would you like to say hello?
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming on. I've been following Louis for a while on Instagram, and I thought it would be great to have him on. So I have written some questions, and we're just going to go through them. So usually I like to start the podcast by just asking what diagnoses you have and kind of chatting about kind of the waiting times and things you had for those diagnoses, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay.
So I will start off from birth. I was diagnosed with fetal alcohol syndrome. And then at 3, I was diagnosed with ADHD. And then at 7 years old, I did my first autism assessment, and I actually came a few marks off of the diagnosis. So my parents basically fought for a second opinion, and the waiting time for that was about 10 years. So I was 17 when I got my actual diagnosis.
Wow. That's mad.
Yeah.
From the age of 7, you like you and potentially your parents had an inkling that you might be autistic. But you had to wait 10 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I guess, did that mean that you had, I mean, obviously you had the FASD diagnosis and the ADHD diagnosis. Did that kind of help you get support in school or not really?
I did get some support, but I do think that as I got older, the support wasn't enough. I remember in school I had like a teaching assistant that would help and keep me focused and stuff. I would work on my memory and things with them, and that was like super helpful. But I think around the time of like GCSEs and onwards, the support wasn't enough to kind of match my needs. But I think at a young age, I think it was good.
Yeah. Okay. I get what you mean. I think like almost kind of through like primary school and stuff like that, it's kind of sometimes better support than when you get to kind of higher level, like secondary school and things like that.
Yeah.
And did you go to a mainstream primary and secondary?
Yes. Yeah.
And how did you find that? Because that, I mean, I found it hell. So I can only imagine you, it must have been quite difficult for you.
It was definitely a challenge. I feel like in some aspects it was good for me. But then in other ways, and now that I'm older, I kind of look back and I wonder what life could have been like if I went to a school that wasn't mainstream. But I feel like it wasn't awful, but it wasn't great. I didn't have many friends. Like, I had a lot of people that were friendly, but there weren't very many people I could call my friends.
Okay.
Especially as I started to get older.
That's kind of tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
But did you kind of sit like GCSEs and A-levels? Did you get like extra support with exams and stuff?
Yeah, at GCSEs I had extra time.
Okay.
And what they did was with my options, they narrowed it down. So I just did the core subjects and then one extra subject so that I could spend the extra time with a one-to-one kind of studying. In that sense, it was good because I didn't have so many subjects to focus on. I could spend more time focusing on like the English, math, science, and then the computer studies as well.
Okay, that's good. That sounds like such a sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
Like rather than doing 11 GCSEs, which I always thought was ridiculous.
That is a lot. Yeah.
And did you like stay on and do like A-levels or like go to college or anything or?
Yeah, I went to college, and I think that was probably where most of the support dropped because I did a vocational qualification. It was relying very heavily on studying outside of the classroom.
Okay.
And kind of coming into lessons without a lesson plan, and just like it required a lot of self-dedication when it came to studying, and I think that's probably where I struggled.
when I talk to people about like sixth form or college, like they say the structure of kind of school sort of goes and you're just kind of, you're left to revise on your own. You're left to like study all these things on your own, and you kind of almost come into class to just kind of like check in with the teacher kind of thing. And it's totally different to school. So yeah, I get you.
That's exactly how it was. And it was quite difficult as well, especially with things like time management, because there was no teacher being like, you need to have this done by this date and then do that by that date. It was just kind of get it done.
Mm-hmm. And are you someone that like finds like the routine and the structure helpful?
Yeah, definitely. So it was quite a challenge when all that just like went out the window. When you get to college, there's no like school routine.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy that the support kind of dropped off, because, and I've spoken to other people about this, it's not like your diagnosis has changed, or it's not like, you know, anything's like really changed since you've gone from secondary school to college, apart from, you know, you're a little bit older. But I don't understand why the support doesn't follow you. I know it's really tricky to I know how much paperwork is involved with like Senko stuff and things at school, but I do find it really difficult to understand why it can't kind of follow you throughout your education. That would make sense. Yeah. I was going to ask you about kind of like hobbies and special interests, and it'd be great to obviously chat about like drumming, because I know that's a big thing for you. When did that kind of come into your life?
So that kind of came into my life around the start of lockdown, where I was just looking for new hobbies and things to do, and I found these drums online that were like super unique, because I didn't really have space for an actual drum kit. So I tried them out and I really liked them. And then I was using them quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I managed to build quite a surprisingly good following for my drumming. Like a lot of people were really invested in my invisible drums, which was really nice to see.
Yeah. I mean, you have almost 50,000 followers on TikTok and 1.3 million likes, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How soon after kind of starting the drumming did you start the TikTok?
I think I started the TikTok very shortly after. It couldn't have been long after, because I feel like my main goal for that was kind of mixing the advocacy with the drumming and just combining them.
Mm-hmm. How like educational your videos are, but also how they are like quite fun as well.
Yeah, I feel like there's a very good balance of like entertainment and education, and it's nice to be able to just like pick and choose, do I want to educate people on this, or will I make something entertaining, or just do both?
Yeah, I think that's nice that you've got kind of like, you could do a bit of both and balance them kind of thing. And how have you found kind of being on like online, and like, I feel like a lot of people I've spoken to who are on like TikTok and Instagram come across a lot of people who like, I don't know, question their diagnosis kind of thing. Like, do you find like that hard at all? Like the more like negative side, or do you feel like you're able to deal with that? Because I think I'd find that quite hard.
I feel like I've had moments where there have been like a lot of people being like, you know, you're too normal for a diagnosis, or you don't seem like someone who's autistic. Mm-hmm. And it kind of frustrates me, because there's a lot of people, especially on TikTok, there's a lot of controversy about being autistic. And it kind of feels like such a struggle to convince all these people that, yes, I'm autistic. Yes, I've had a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And just because I don't seem like someone else that's autistic doesn't mean that I'm not. Because what I've learned since starting my advocacy is that there are so many different representations of autism and autistic people, and there are no two that are the same. Like, there are a lot of, trying to think of the right word, there's a lot of traits that overlap and can be displayed in some people but not others, depending on like their background, their age, their gender. And I feel like no two autistic individuals are the same.
Yeah, no, that's a really good way of putting it. And number one, you shouldn't have to prove to anyone that you have these diagnoses. And, you know, I know people will question it online, but only you and, you know, your family and friends know you, you know, properly every day kind of thing. And I do find it difficult that people make assumptions and question stuff when they've literally seen a 60-second video of you. Like, I feel TikTok's not great for that, where people are like, oh, I'm assuming this because I've watched 60 seconds of Louis's life.
Yeah, that's true. And I think as well, the unpredictability of your audience doesn't help with that. Because you could put a video out and you have no idea who's going to see it or how they're going to react to it when they see it. But I feel like most of the time I've been quite fortunate to have a lot of supportive people on there.
And do you feel like you've had like kind of more like opportunities through like TikTok in terms of like advocacy as well kind of thing?
I definitely feel like I've had more opportunities to have a voice as an advocate and to educate people. I'm very grateful for that because I feel like advocacy is a very important thing. And by having a big platform, you can educate so many people on things.
Does it ever feel like quite a big responsibility?
It does, occasionally. I feel like, especially when, for example, on the Instagram, the Autism Unmasked, we're all trying to fight something that's like, for example, Autism Speaks, we're it feels like an us against them.
Yeah.
And it can be quite overwhelming at times because we're trying to stand up for what we believe in.
And when did you become, because you mentioned the Autism Unmasked, and I think I mentioned it in your introduction, when did you sort of become a part of that team? Because I know there's four of you, including you.
Yes, yeah, I became a part of that team. Must have been around 2020. I just saw something online, a friend of a friend posted something. It was an application. And I thought, you know, I'm autistic. There's a lot of things I want to say about being autistic, what it's like. Maybe I should apply. I heard back and I think the ball just got rolling and I've enjoyed it ever since.
And do you sort of almost like split the kind of content between you kind of thing? Like, how does it work having four people managing one Instagram account?
Yeah, so we have like a schedule. So like different people will log into the account on different days and then they can essentially post. It's up to them what they post. So they can decide to, we'll discuss what we're going to post. But I feel like having a schedule really helps us to know who's on the account, what's being posted. And it just prevents any confusion.
Oh, that's really cool. And I also wanted to ask you on the kind of back of that, like, what did it feel like to be listed as one of the top like neurodivergent influencers to follow on TikTok? Because I read that article and it was really interesting.
Yeah, that was quite a surprise for me because it's not really something I expected to happen or to be recognized as one of the top advocates. Is quite surreal. I'm really proud of that as well.
I mean, it's almost like a form of recognition, isn't it? Like, it's almost like an award, I would say. I think it is an award.
Yeah, it's like all this hard work that we've been doing for months is being recognized, and I'm really happy about that, about the fact that things that I'm saying, people are taking notice, and it's great.
Oh, that's really good to hear. And I think like what I find like really interesting about your content is obviously you're talking about like autism and ADHD, but I find it really like great that you're talking about your FASD because I have a brother who's autistic, and I think you've listened to the podcast as well with him that I did. He also has FASD, and I remember kind of looking online and I couldn't really find anyone like the same age as him with FASD. And I really wanted to be able to follow more people with FASD so that, you know, I can kind of educate myself and understand like more about my brother. And I just really appreciate that you're so open about your FASD and that you're really keen to kind of educate people on it. Was it kind of a scary thing to talk about, or did you find it kind of Yeah, how did you find it?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's been one of the hardest things to talk about, because when you look online, there's not a lot of creators or influencers or educators that actually talk about this. I feel like there's a lot of content that could be made to inform people about what it's like to have fetal alcohol syndrome. And I'm actually trying to learn about it myself so that I can correctly inform people. But I feel like the chat that you had with your brother was really eye-opening, because it seemed like we had a lot in common.
And what sort of things do you think you had in common, just out of interest?
I feel like our interests in technology, that was one of the common things, and the music, like having noise that you could control to stimulate yourself. Like, I listen to music really loudly as well,
Oh, okay.
but then I'm not too keen on like crowded spaces where it's really noisy and there's a lot going on. Like, if I could go to a quiet place and listen to loud music, I would choose that.
That's so interesting because, yeah, that's exactly what my brother's like as well. And I guess it's about being able to control the level yourself, isn't it? It's not like,
Yeah.
because you just can't do that in a crowd, but with your own music, you can set it as to, to whatever you want.
Yeah.
So, what are you kind of like up to with your life kind of now? Like, are you still in education at all, or are you kind of what are you up to right now, or what are you kind of like hoping to kind of do in the future? I like to ask people about their futures. I know it's quite a big
That's
question.
all right. At the moment, I'm not in education. I'm currently working at the minute. I work at Marks and Spencer's. But the cool thing is that I've actually recently started a new role in their social media, which I've found super enjoyable. So I'll do like Facebook posts, Instagram posts, not Instagram, TikTok posts, just to promote the products and engage with the customers. Because I feel like one of my other special interests is social media engagement and algorithms and finding new ways of engaging with people. So it's been a really good opportunity for me to actually show my creativity in the workplace.
That's so cool. And like, it's definitely obviously using your skills. Like, if
Yeah.
you're so like used to posting on like TikTok and Instagram and stuff, like that's really good. And I guess like anything like that is like great for your CV.
Yeah. And then on the side, I'm still doing like my social media stuff. Yeah.
And how do you find kind of balancing like making content and also working? Do you work part-time? Do you have like time to do both?
I work full time, and then like I'll have 2 days off, and then one day I'll kind of do my own thing and just like relax. And then on the other day, I try and dedicate it to making some content or doing some research on a post that I'm going to make, or just checking in with the group on the Autism Unmasked page just to see how everyone's doing.
It sounds like you've got like time to like decompress from work, but also time to still like be creative as well.
Yeah. I'm quite fortunate for that. I feel like I've kind of got a little routine going with it now, which is great.
And how do you find like at M&S, are you kind of like working on like a shop floor at all? Like, is it a busy environment that you work in? Like, how do you find, like, do you find you come home quite tired kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the customer service side of things is definitely, it takes a lot of energy. And I do find it quite tiring. Yeah.
I used to work in retail as well, and I did like a bit of customer service, and I used to find it so tricky, like not to take people's mood personally, or like if they came back with a product that wasn't working, like to not take it like as criticism, like because I feel like people can sometimes be quite angry when like they're like returning stuff, or when there's a queue or something like that, and I used to always take it so personally. I don't know if it was a I don't know what that was about, but like, do you find that you've like kind of almost developed like a thicker skin in terms of being able to deal with people?
Yeah, I do think so. I feel like I feel like I'm able to kind of know that what they're returning isn't like my own fault, and just to follow procedure and just apologize to them. I definitely think it's the one of the hardest things is like trying to make small talk with customers.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a kind of like script at all that you kind of follow or anything?
Yeah, when I think about it, I think it's I'll ask if they've got everything they were looking for, or ask about the weather, or just ask how their day is going. I think those are probably the main things that I'll talk about.
Mm-hmm. That's really good that you've got like a little like bank of like sayings, because I guess that's like it's like the most important thing, so that you don't always like sound like you're saying the same thing again, I guess.
yeah
that's a good way of doing it.
I feel quite fortunate because there's a lot of customers who are really easy to talk to. It doesn't apply to everyone, but yeah, I feel like it's, and wearing the lanyard as well, some people will try and make conversation about it and show an interest in the sunflower lanyard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good because it's like an opportunity to tell people all about it and what it means.
Well, that's good. That's nice that like you're even just like educating other people while you're like on the job kind of thing. That's great.
Yeah.
And do you wear the sunflower lanyard like just at work, or do you wear it like out and about as well? Because I know like some people kind of only wear it in certain like situations, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I'll wear it at work, and then depending on where I'm going or who I'm seeing, or if I'm going somewhere new, I might wear it.
Mm-hmm.
Or doing something I haven't tried before, I will wear it just in case like I need help or support.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely helps in that sense.
Mm-hmm. How do you find like transport and like kind of getting to work and things?
Yeah, so I cycle to work.
Okay.
And then I've also got like a disability bus pass that gets me around, which is great if I want to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. And how do you find buses? Because I feel like they're either like really dead or really busy and there's no in between.
Yeah. I don't mind it too much because I feel like it's not been too, like, because I've been doing it for such a long time. I've kind of gotten used to it. And the fact that you don't really have to talk to anyone else is good as well. Because I feel like British people definitely keep to themselves a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And I guess also, like, I feel like when I was, like, going to college and stuff, like, you had to, like, pay in coins. Whereas, like, now it's less stressful because you just, like, tap a card or show a card, like, to get on.
Yeah. That's much easier.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm terrible with money, like counting money. I can't like do it under especially under stressful situations.
Under pressure, yeah. I get that.
And just one last question, what would you say your kind of strengths and weaknesses are as someone who is autistic and has ADHD and FASD?
So I feel like some of my struggles and challenges would probably, the main ones would be like my memory, trying to remember instructions. If I'm not in a routine with something, I'll write a lot of things down on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I find focusing on tasks can be quite a challenge sometimes, because especially if you've got more than one thing going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say some of the positives would probably be that I consider myself as a good listener,
mm-hmm.
Quite empathetic and considerate when it comes to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I'm just a generally enthusiastic person.
I think those are great strengths. And also it's really interesting to hear what you feel are your own weaknesses. But I think you can definitely tell like your enthusiasm just from talking to me here, but also like through your videos as well. Like I can tell how enthusiastic you are about like just like life in general, but also like about educating as well, which I think is really important. Like if someone's enthusiastic, you're more like likely to engage and really get behind them. But it is really interesting to hear about like, you know, what you're saying about like poor memory and just not being able to hold like information. That must be kind of really frustrating.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. I think that's one of the ones I'm still working on.
But it's good that you found like ways, like, you know, like having your phone with you and like being able to take notes and refer to stuff. Like, it's all about finding like the right coping mechanisms, which I know is a bit of a nightmare to try and solve. Well, thank you so much for being so up for having a chat. Do you want to mention your social media so that people can come and follow you?
So my TikTok is That Autistic Drummer. My Instagram is Louis Roberts Music. And then the group Instagram is autism_unmasked.
Brilliant. Thank you. I'll pop those in the show notes for anyone that just wants to be able to click on them. Thank you so much for coming on.
That's all right. It's been great.